It's me again, Hank the Cowdog. The case of the shipwrecked tree began in the spring of the year, as I recall. Yes, of course it did. Drover and I never would have joined up with a pirate captain in the wintertime because, well, who wants to make an ocean voyage when it's cold? Not me. But that came after we got the news about the Turkey Rebellion. Have we discussed that? Maybe not. It was a pretty scary deal, but maybe we'd better slow down and take things one at a time. Okay, it was spring. Warm days, chilly nights, spring foliage on all the trees. The buzzards, kites, sparrows, and cardinals had returned to the ranch after spending the winter somewhere. Down south, I suppose. Why do they leave every fall? I have no idea. Ask a bird. I consider it a huge waste of time and effort. Come spring, they just turn around and fly right back. Dumb birds. What's the point? If they don't like it around here, why do they keep coming back? And if they do like it here, why do they always leave? It makes no sense to me, but let me hasten to point out that I'm not a bird. Maybe you had already noticed that. Where were we? Oh yes, birds. Every year in the fall, our summer birds leave and fly south. We don't know why and we don't care, but some birds stay here over the winter. One type of bird that stays on the ranch year-round is the wild turkey. Most of the time, your wild turkeys are okay birds. They don't bother me, and I don't bother them. They run in flocks, roost in cottonwood trees, and steal grain from the horses, which is fine with me because I'm not fond of horses. However, there's always a however, isn't there? I had never supposed that our local turkey population might be involved in a sophisticated spying operation until it all began in the early morning hours, as I recall. I was sitting at my desk in the security division's vast office complex beneath the gas tanks, going over some files and reports. I had hardly slept in days. I fought sleep as long as I could, but there are two powerful forces in this world that a dog can't resist. The first is sleep, and I don't remember the second one. So yes, my struggle against the forces of sleep was doomed to fail, and after minutes and minutes of fighting to stay awake, I must have slipped the surly bonds of life and sailed out into the misty harbor of delicious sleep. It was wonderful. All the weeks and weeks of sleepless nights, all the cares and worries of running the security division, all the frayed nerves and knotted muscles melted away like something. Mothballs in a pouring rain, I suppose, or maybe snowballs in a pouring rain, sugar cubes in a cup of hot tea, graham crackers in a glass of milk. They all melted away, is the point, and there for a few moments I felt myself. Suddenly a voice cut through the silence. Hank, I'm back! I jacked myself up to a sitting position and began the back-breaking process of cranking open my eyelids. There stood Drover, grinning, happy, and dumb, and wig-wagging his stub tail. Werewolves wear rumple buckets. You just left. How could you be back so snooze? Well, I made friends with the turkeys and got them to tell me everything. Talkies, what are you turking about? Turkeys, wild turkeys. See, you sent me on an important mission to incinerate the turkeys, and I did, and now I'm back. Yes, of course. Be still a minute and let me think. And stop wagging your tail. Do I dare let you in on the procedures we followed on this assignment? I've already mentioned that we launched all dogs, but there was quite a bit more to it than that, and some of it was pretty technical and complicated. Let's give it a try. Okay, the first report of the trespassing vehicle came in at 0831. At 0832. Okay, maybe I wasn't exactly wounded and bleeding, but my pride had suffered a terrible blow. Drover came rushing up. When he saw the brown stain upon my face and head, he... You won't believe this. He started laughing. I turned to the dunce and melted him with a flaming glare. Drover, it really hurts to see you making a mockery of my misfortunes. Just for that, I'm going to put 3 irreverence marks into your record. Oh, drat. And another one for using naughty language on the job. Oh, fizzle bloomers. There's another one. Go ahead, son. Get all the poison out of your system. Oh, bunky woofer. That's cute, Drover. And that brings you up to a grand total of 6 marks against your record. You want any more? He grinned. No, I'm out of naughty words. Good. Great. Maybe you have cleansed your internal organs of all their grime and filth. Yeah, but you still got tobacco juice on your face. I glared at him. Okay, smart guy, just for that, we'll make it 7 marks. That last one is for speaking an unauthorized truth. Yeah, but... I did dives in the grass and wiped the gunk off my face and head. And let that be a lesson to you. When I want to know the truth about my appearance, I'll let you know. Yeah, but go to your room. Immediately. Yeah, but that spy's down there with the turkeys, and I'm scared of spies. I gave that some thought. Good point. Okay, maybe sending you to your room is too harsh. But, Drover, we must do something about your... I wonder what's in the box. Quiet, I'm not finished. We must do something to improve your... What did you just say? I wonder what's in the box. I stared deeply into the deep emptiness of his eyes. It's not a box, it's a spy. A very dangerous spy. Yeah, but the mailman delivered a box. Oh, that. Are you saying there's a spy in the box? Hurry up, Drover, what's your point? I just wondered. All at once he burst out crying. I don't know what I'm saying. You've got me so confused, I don't know if I'm coming or going. I heaved a sigh and patted the little mutt on the shoulder. Try to control yourself, son. I think I can help. He stopped crying and stared at me with tear-shimmering eyes. Really? No fooling? Yes. Here's the answer you've been seeking all these years, and I hope you'll pay close attention. I leaned down and whispered, "The reason you can't tell if you're coming or going is that you're going insane, and I've seen it coming for a long time." He gave me a silly grin. "Oh, is that all? Gosh, thanks, I feel better already." I held him in my gaze for a long minute as he grinned and hopped around in circles. He seemed as happy as a little bird in a bird bath. Sometimes I wonder... Oh well, that's enough, Drover. We need to find out what's in that mysterious box. And with that, we left Drover's personal problems and went streaking over to the yard gate. There we set up a forward position and began monitoring the sounds and so forths that were coming from the porch. Little did we know or even suspect, but we mustn't get the horse in front of the donkey. We listened and watched is the point. Little Alfred was busy tearing at the paper that was wrapped around the box and in which the box was wrapped. Alfred was good at this sort of thing, tearing and wrecking. And you could tell that he loved his work. His eyes were sparkling. Just then the door opened and out stepped his mother, Sally Mae. And all at once I felt myself consumed with, well, uncomfortable feelings. A wooden smile came to my lips. I cut my eyes from side to side, and my tail, well, it started tapping on the ground, almost as though it had a mind of its own. Do you see what she does to me? There I was, a model of perfect dog behavior, a sincere dog, a dog who did his job and tended to his business, a dog who had done nothing wrong, and who had never even thought about doing anything wrong. And yet, when she came onto the scene, I began to fidget and grovel and grin, and suddenly I felt consumed by terrible feelings of guilt, almost as though she saw us there at the gate, but I knew she wasn't looking at Drover. She was looking at me. Looking at me, into me, through me, with those heartless eyes of hers. The eyes that see into the souls of dogs and little boys and always find naughty thoughts. And the crazy thing was that I didn't have naughty thoughts. Hey, I'd just gotten out of bed. I hadn't done anything yet. I hadn't even thought about. Okay, maybe I'd barked at the mailman, but that was part of my job, right? But other than that, I was as innocent as the driveled snow. But that didn't matter. Her eyes walked into the house of my soul and began looking under the beds, lifting the lids on all the cooking pots, peering into the closets of my mind. And suddenly I was squirming with horrible feelings of guilt. In the glare of her eyes, I squirmed and fidgeted and tapped my tail and squeezed up a desperate smile which said, "Hey, Sally Mae, I can explain everything. It wasn't me. I didn't do it. Honest, no kidding." Whew. It must have worked, because at last she left me off the forks of her gaze and looked down at little Alfred. Only then did I dare relax.
"What is it, sweetie?"
she asked. Alfred was still ripping his way through the paper.
"It's my costume. It finally came."
Sally Mae smiled.
"Let's take it inside. I don't want those papers blowing all over the yard."
They went inside. I heaved a huge sigh of relief and noticed that Drover was staring at me. "Why are you staring at me in that tone of voice?"
"Well, you were acting kind of funny."
"For your information, Drover, I wasn't acting, and it wasn't funny. Perhaps you weren't paying attention and didn't notice that Sally Mae was frisking me with her eye." It was one of the spookiest, scariest things I'd seen in my entire career, and I'm sorry that I can't reveal any more information about it. I absolutely can't. Wild horseflies couldn't drag it out of me. You know why? Because of the kids. You know where I stand on the issue of scaring the kids, right? I don't mind giving them a little scare now and then, but when we get into the darker, really scary stuff, I just can't bring myself to do it. It could have a bad effect, cause the kids to have nightmares in the night, and even wet the bed. We don't need that. I mean, this world is wet enough without... What? You think you can handle the scary part? You think you're tough enough? Yeah, but what if you're wrong? What happens then? Who's gonna take the blame if you wake up screaming in the night and find a wet spot on your sheets? Okay, tell you what. I'll go on with this, but if you get in trouble, don't blame me. I've got enough problems of... Creeping towards the gas tanks was the biggest, bloodiest, thirsty pirate I'd ever seen. He was hobbling along on his wooden leg, staring at us with his one good eye, grinning an evil grin, and waving his sword.
Holy smokes, he was coming to get us!
Did pirates eat dogs? I'd never heard of such a thing, but... Can you take any more of this? I'm not sure I can. I mean, I was there, I lived it, I saw it all with my very own eyes. But I'm not sure I can bear to tell about it. And don't forget about all the little children who might be listening and watching. What do you think? We could quit this story and go to another one. I've got many other stories, and they're not nearly as scary and terrifying as this one. Keep going? Okay, you asked for this. There we were, scared out of our wits and livers. I managed to fire off one squeak of a bark in hopes it might slow down the pirate. And then I shifted into gear and highballed it out of there. To the machine shed, Drover! The cowboys are up there and maybe they can save us. Fellers, we ran for our lives. If we could make it to the machine shed, maybe our cowboy pals could fight off this horrible villain. I mean, they had hammers and stuff in there. And maybe if all four of us mounted a defense, we could... Holy smokes, I could hear the pirates' blood-chilling laughter behind us. And even worse, when I dared to throw a glance over my shoulder, I saw that he was coming after us. I could even hear his wooden leg thumping on the ground.
Faster, Drover!
Outside the shed, it was my misfortune to encounter Drover. Where had he been through my terrible ordeal, and how had he gotten outside? I had no idea. Furthermore, I didn't care.
Hank, did you hear that loud crash?
Not only did I hear that loud crash, I was that loud crash. Goodbye, Drover.
I'll be darned. Hey, wait a minute.
I stopped and looked down at the mutt. Yes, be brief. I've been shamed and disgraced, and I'll be leaving soon.
Yeah, but we didn't solve the case of Murphy the spy. That pirate was little Alfred.
So it seems, Drover. I was wrong, and I made a fool of myself. Well, they got their laughs out of me, and now I'm leaving. His eyes grew wide.
Leaving? You mean?
Yes, Drover. I'm quitting, resigning my position. I no longer care about the Murphy case or the pirate invasion. Let some other dog have all the worry and responsibility.
Yeah, but...
Just then, little Alfred came out of the shed. He was smiling.
Hanky, did I scare you with my costume?
I turned my eyes away.
Well, don't be mad. I was just having some fun.
Don't be mad? Ha! He put his arm around me and patted me on the ribs.
We can still be friends, can't we? Maybe we can play Treasure Island.
Play? Ha! No, my feelings had been shattered beyond all repair, and so had our friendship.
I might give you a treat.
A treat? No thanks, pal. Things had gone too far, and I couldn't be bribed. The boy looked up at the sky.
What if I gave you my bubble gum?
Nope, wouldn't work. The damage was just too great, and... Well, I'd never tried bubble gum and probably wouldn't like it. No. He reached into his mouth and brought out a gooey wad of something pink.
It's pretty good.
It probably was pretty good, but dogs didn't chew. He held it under my nose and, you know what? It did smell pretty good. I mean, real good. But as far as me being bribed by a piece of... I don't know how this happened, but suddenly my tongue... Well, somehow it shot out of my mouth and made contact, shall we say, with the... My eyes brightened. My ears shot up. That was bubble gum? He grinned.
What do you think?
I thought... You know, time heals all wounds, even terrible wounds of the spirit. And quite a bit of time...
Captain Alfred was sitting in a fork of the tree, pulling the bucket up by the rope. When he got it all the way up, he removed the sandwiches, which were wrapped in paper napkins, and placed them on the deck, then lowered the bucket to the ground. Pete beamed me a cunning smile.
Well, Hanky, I guess you don't get a bite.
Hey, Pete, for your information, I was guarding those sandwiches, and it never even crossed my mind to eat them.
Oh, really? How come you were licking your chops,
It was pretty amazing. All at once, I lost all fear and had but one blazing thought in my mind. Pete would pay for this. I loosened my grip on the limb and planted my feet firmly on the deck. I stood up to my full height of massiveness. Then I raised my lips, revealing two rows of deadly fangs, and a huge rumble of righteous growling thundered in the depths of my throat. The cat stared up at me with terror-stricken eyes.
Now, Hanky, don't be angry.
Ha! It's too late for that, kitty. You've pushed me over the edge. You didn't like my first or second deal? Okay, pal, try this one. I jumped right into the middle of it. I mean, I had the little snot buried under an avalanche of... You know, a guy forgets what cats do when you jump in the middle of them. They turn into a buzzsaw, is more or less what they do. And before I knew it, the miserable, whiny little creep had, well, chainsawed my face, shall we say. But that was okay. It was a small price to pay for the major victory I was fixing to win. If I could just get my paws on the little... Through watering eyes, I armed all bombs and made another dive at him. He ran, of course. Your cowards and your cats always run. But running wouldn't save Pete this time. He scampered out onto a limb, and you should have seen the fear in his eyes. He was shocked, stunned, a stupid. And you know why? Because I followed him. The dumb cat. He thought I was scared of heights, scared of trees, and that I couldn't follow a rinky-dink little cat all the way out to... The limb seemed to be bending under my enormous... And all of a sudden, I found myself way out on the end of... I went to total lockdown and hugged the limb with all four paws. Unless I was badly mistaken, I had just... I saw the ground 500 feet below me. 1,000 feet. 2 miles below me. Alfred was staring up at me with wide eyes, and he looked about the size of an ant. Uh-oh. Fellers, we had big problems here. And all at once, pounding the cat seemed quite a bit less important than... In desperation, I initiated a program we save for emergencies just like this one. This is getting pretty scary, don't you think? You bet, but I hope you... You won't believe this. Who would have dreamed that two buzzards would land in the same tree that contained one dog and one cowboy? Not me. I mean, normal buzzards are shy about humans and go out of their way to keep away from them, right? That's the way it's supposed to work, but guess who showed up? Wallace and Junior. They came flapping down out of the sky and crash-landed in the tree right above me. Slim froze and stared up at the big, ugly birds. His mouth dropped open. All he could say was, "Good honk. We're drawing buzzards." Slim couldn't hear the buzzards talking. Humans don't speak buzzard. But I could. Wallace yelled, "Here we go, son! A safe haven, one step ahead of the storm!"
Yeah, but, Pa, I think we've got a company.
It was then that Wallace's buzzard eye... Hey, I've already told you that the story's over. It ended in a tragic accident when I plunged out of a huge cottonwood tree and blasted a 6-foot crater in the ground below. So how come you're still listening? Okay, maybe this didn't turn out to be the absolute end of my long and glorious career. And maybe I didn't get splattered all over the ranch. But I came real close. Here's what happened, and this is the straight scoop. Loper, Sally Mae, and little Alfred were standing at the base of the tree, remember? And they were staring up at me and Slim, and they were too shocked and scared to move. Oh, and don't forget that they were standing upside down, or seemed to be. Well, when Loper saw that I was slipping and losing my grip on the limb, he said, "Grab the blanket!" The limb, the precious limb, slipped out of my claws, and I plunged 4,000 feet towards the hard, hard ground below. As I heard the air rushing past my ears and waited for the terrible crunch that would end it all, my thoughts flew back over the years of my life, and I saw the faces of all the many women and lady dogs who had loved and adored me. Missy Coyote, Miss Scamper the Beagle, that cute Irish Setter and Twitchell, Trudy the Cocker Spaniel, and yes, there she was, a glowing vision in the back of my mind, the lovely, incomparable Miss Beulah the Collie. Ah, sweet Beulah. Her life would be a struggle without me, but maybe she would find courage too. I blinked my eyes and looked up into three faces above me. Loper, Sally Mae, and little Alfred. Holy smokes, you'll never believe. Get this. Somehow they had turned themselves right side up, snatched the blanket up, pulled it tight, and moved it into the path of my fatal plunge. No kidding. And I had landed right in the middle of their safety net. Oh, happy day. And now, gee whiz, wasn't anybody gonna celebrate? I mean, they just dropped the blanket, forgot about the head of ranch security, and now they were all staring up at... Okay, Slim's situation was still pretty grim. I mean, there he was, hanging upside down, clutching a limb that was swinging back and forth in the wind. Wide, wild swings. And nobody had the slightest idea how to help him. Loper's eyes darted around. "Hon, what can we do?" Sally Mae gave her head a shake.
"I don't know. I don't think the blanket would break his fall, would it?"
Loper shook his head. "Slim, if we ran to the house and pulled a mattress off the bed, could you hang on till we got back?" Slim shook his head, causing his hat to fall to the ground.
"Don't think so. I'm losing my grip."
Loper chewed his lip and thought.
"What if we drove the pickup around and parked it right here? If you landed on top of the cab, it might break your fall."
"Or my neck. I guess you could try. Just hurry."
Loper made a dash for the pickup. Could Slim hang on? We waited in the deadly, brittle silence. Only it wasn't really a silence, because now we could hear the roar of a gigantic storm coming down the Wolf Creek Valley. Up in the tree, Slim said,
"If that storm hits, I won't be able to..."
He didn't finish the sentence, but we all knew what he meant. I darted my gaze around our sad little group. Little Alfred buried his face in Sally Mae's dress. Sally Mae's gaze fell to the ground. She just couldn't watch. And Drover, he had collapsed and covered his eyes with his paws, worthless to the end. The roar of the storm came closer and closer, a terrible roaring sound. Loper dived into the pickup and hit the starter. The motor turned over and over and over. We heard Loper yell, "Start, you piece of junk!" But it didn't start. The motor had flooded, or something. What do I know about motors? It didn't start, that's all I can tell you, and it wasn't my fault. Loper leaped out of the pickup and came running back to the tree.
"It won't start, Slim. Hang on, maybe we'll think of something."
Well, someone had to take charge, make some decisions, and provide some leadership to save our friend. This was a job for the head of ranch security. I took a gulp of air and stepped forward. And there, in front of everyone, I took the kind of bold action we so desperately needed. I barked. Yes, sir, I barked. And this was no ordinary barking. These were the kind of deep, thunderous barks we saved for the very seriousest and emergencyest, for the very most serious of emergency situations. These were the kind of barks that have such powerful recoil, they knock a dog back 3 steps on every shot. Oh, you should have seen me. I barked the base of the tree, I barked the top of the tree, and I even barked encouragement to poor Slim. And then, with the roar of the storm coming straight at us, I even turned and dared to bark at the storm itself. A lot of dogs wouldn't have had the nerve to do that, stand their ground, face the roar of a terrible storm, and fire barks right into the middle of it. But I did. And you know what? It worked. I saved Slim. You don't believe me? You think I'm just making it up? Ha! Listen to this. Okay, the storm was bearing down on us, right? Roaring down the valley, and we're talking about a dark curtain of rain, exactly the kind of rain that would wash a grown man right out of a tree. Did I run and hide? Did I quiver and moan? No, sir. I stiffened my back and fired off round after round of anti-storm barkings. Those barks were so powerful they penetrated the dark rolling clouds and actually, this is the good part, so pay close attention. Those barks went up into the clouds and gave them such a shake, it shook loose a bolt of lightning. No kidding, honest. And that bolt of lightning came crashing down from the sky, struck the tree with a huge boom, and cut it in two. Yes, sir, it was the old lightning trick, and I'd saved it for exactly this kind of emergency. It cut the tree smooth in half, and the half that Slim was in just sank to the ground. It didn't fall, it didn't crash to the ground, it just sank and landed as softly as something. A feather drifting down to the earth, I suppose. Old Slim blinked and looked around with big round eyes. He struggled to his feet, picked up his hat, and slapped it on his head. And then, would you believe that he turned to me and said, "Hank, you just saved my life. Why, if you hadn't called down that bolt of lightning, I'd have been buzzard bait. I'll personally see that you get a hero's reward for this."